everybody, to another episode of Bet the Farm Podcast. We got a three-man show for you today, just as many weeks as we were off, actually. So I'm here with Brandon the Bird Dog. How we doing, fellas?
We're back, baby. It's been a while for me. Finally through fire school, I'm ready to fire away.
Let's go. Like to hear that. Speaking of fire, the dog days of summer are here, so we're going to itch and claw to get you some cash crops this week. But what about you over there?
All good over here. Hey, you got to find a way. Dog days of summer, getting towards the end of all the finals, NBA, NHL. But hey, still a lot to be had out there. We got UFC. We got some baseball, NASCAR, USFL, futures. NFL's coming up soon. You got to find a way out here. So hey, gamblers do what gamblers do. So we're going to find a way to feed some winners to everybody.
You love to hear it. You love to hear it. All right, let's get right to it.
All right, well, let's do a quick recap. Yeah, we took a few weeks off, but in the meantime, I've been giving you guys golf picks of the Plotniks each week. Me and Bird Dog were on the ones and twos last week for UFC 275. And, hey, here we are. We're back at the Farm Podcast. We do what we do. We give content. So let's give a quick recap of what we had a few weeks ago. Don't have to get into the actual bets themselves just because it's a little surpassed at this point. But I was 1-3 that week, unfortunately. All time still at a nice 54% clip. Jared 5-4-1. Nice winning week, 57%. Wes was not on the podcast. Eric was. Eric is, no, we can't find him at the moment. I think that the bookie broke his ankles or his knees or whatever it may have happened. Don't know his exact record. Once we get that, we'll make sure we have it updated for everybody next week. So that being said, I talked about it. There's a lot to actually talk about. You know, you may not think about it. I even might dive deep into some sports that aren't the most popular. You know, tennis, maybe. UFC, we got some action. We got baseball we can handicap. But before we do that, let's get into our red card of the week. Burn Dog. Who's getting the boot this week?
Honestly, I didn't prepare a red card. I was going to do it on the fly. Usually, I'm like the last one to go. So, why don't you take over because I know you got one.
Yeah, I always have a red card because, you know, the point of the show is to be a part of all of the different segments. But, you know, that's just me, I guess. So, I was, you know, sometimes I just, you know, scrolling through the ESPN app and I see that Greg Hardy, who, if you've listened to our MMA shows or listened to me in general when it comes to sports betting, I've always been a huge Greg Hardy guy when he was in the UFC. Maybe not so much in the NFL or him off the field, but I loved betting on him in the UFC. Guy's actually pretty damn good. He got released recently from the UFC, and as of today, he has signed with Bare Knuckle Boxing. So for anybody out there that's not aware, this is literally boxing without any gloves on. This is two grown fucking men, and he's a heavyweight. So this is a 240-pounder walking into a ring with another buddy.
40? He cuts to 265.
There you go. Walking into a ring with another guy. I mean, well, heavyweight, you know, there's no specific number on it, but I don't know how bare-knuckle boxing does it. Either way, 250-pounders walking into a ring, grown fucking men just throwing absolute hands. My red card of the week goes to anybody that has to face Greg Hardy in the future. Imagine waking up day of and just being like, you know what I want to do today? I want to go step into a ring or an octagon that I cannot get out of and just go bare to bare knuckle, head to head, toe to toe with Greg Hardy. I mean, the guy, first of all, for his background in general with how he got kicked out of the NFL because the guy's threatening females with 15 guns sitting on his bed. Scary motherfucker to begin with. Then he becomes an actual professional mixed martial artist and has over 5 knockouts in the UFC. And now you want to step in the ring with that guy? You're a fucking idiot if you decide that you want to do that. I know that you're doing it for money, but I don't know how much money you can get paid to have to make an agreement to go step into a ring with Greg Hardy with no gloves on. So my red card of the week goes to anyone dumb enough to make that decision.
Yeah, I sure as all wouldn't. I still got you, Wes. Don't worry. I know you're coming up on the fly. I don't know if you wanted any rebuttal there. You're like, I thought you were going to say maybe you're going to take him. I could take Greg Hardy in this if he wants to go for his first fight. I don't know where you're going to go there. But
Yeah, no, I want nothing to do with Greg Hardy. Yeah,
no, nor do I.
Betting, too. Don't bet on him when he's in bare-knuckle boxing. Just don't bet on the guy.
All right, well, my red card of the week goes to our affiliate, shout-out Carmi. Our Carmi softball team going 1-9. Even though a solid 2-8 against the spread, we covered a couple games down the stretch, finally. But all in all, terrible year. I mean, we got just too consumed with the podcast and things around us, and maybe just being on the other side of 30 now, not in your 20s anymore. Speaking for everyone except the pig over here. But, yeah, just pitiful performance, and I wanted to call it out on the airwaves because they were our former sponsor, and now they're not anymore because of it.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to be called Team Carmi next year, so we're rebranding yet again.
Rebranding
yet again. Yeah, lost another sponsor, but
if it didn't work the first five times, it's definitely going to work the sixth. So.
Yeah, there you go. Keep trying. What'd you think of?
So I actually thought it's a little old. It was a couple weeks ago, but my red card's going to – we didn't have a pod, so saving it in the pocket. My red card's going to go to Tyreek Hill on the interview where they ask him, who would you rather take, Patrick Mahomes or Tua? And it was, you know, cut and snipped. They said, who would you rather have based on pure accuracy, Patrick Mahomes or Tua? I don't care what the ins and outs of that question are. You want Patrick Mahomes over Tua, period. I mean, it's fucking Patrick Mahomes. So red card goes to Tyreek Hill. I love you sticking up for your quarterback, but come on now. That's a Super Bowl and an MVP winning quarterback. You're going Patrick Mahomes there.
Yeah. Well, he said that if it was arm strength, he's definitely going with Patty. Accuracy, he said he'd ride with Tua all day. It's funny enough, they're finally all reporting, you know, now to minicamp and whatnot, and they asked Patrick Mahomes about it today, and Patrick was like, yeah, I don't know what that was all about. He's like, my guess is that he was just trying to, like, get some promo for his podcast, to, like, try to get it up and running and make the airwaves. And also, you know, I love Tyreek. Got nothing against him. He's my boy. You know, love him. I just saw him at the F1 in Miami recently. Like, we caught up. We're still homies. He's like, but, you know, if there's one thing I can understand, like, the guy wants to win, and he's probably just trying to embrace the whole Miami, you know, team atmosphere. So he's just trying to stick up for his quarterback. And he's like, I understand that. I can get it. But, you know, that's why he did it all. The promo thing makes the most sense. Obviously, he's just trying to do exactly what he did, which is get everybody talking about it.
Yeah, and of course, everybody talked about it.
Exactly. So it worked. Yeah. And now everybody's going to go listen to his podcast and see what else he has to say. So, great promo job, Tyreek Hill. All right, that will do it for our red cards. Let's jump right into our cash crops. If everybody, if you're just tuning in for the first time, our cash crops, that goes, you know, when you live on a farm, you got to cash the crops. That is putting money in your pocket and everyone else's pocket around you. These are our best bets across all of the sports betting landscape, pun intended. All right, since I'm always on the ones and twos as the semi-host, I suppose you would call it. I'll go ahead and kick us off. We're going to go with the Stanley Cup Finals. Tomorrow night, we record on Thursdays. This will be Friday night.
Saturday night.
I don't know. It's all the staggering now in the finals for both NBA and for NHL have been really weird. Like every other game, it was every other game for every series up until this point. Now they're taking like 2 days off at a time. So, understandable. But yeah, anyway, Saturday, Tampa versus the Avs. Game one, I was like, you know what? I'm taking the over of 6. The Avs, you know, they like to light the lamp early and often. And I also liked Tampa over 2.5, veteran team. You know, I think that they had a little bit more momentum going with them. The Avs had like a week and a half off and they both hit. So over 6 hits, thank God to overtime. And the Tampa Bay over 2.5 hits. And then I texted my farm crew and I said, last series with Tampa, I wanted to take the under 5.5 every single game because the two goalies were so fucking good. Vasurskin and Vasilevskiy the robot, I was like, give me the under. And that hit in, I think, 5 of the 6 games. And I said, you know what? This series, what I want to do is take the over in every single game. So I'm going to ride the over of 6 here yet again. I think the Avs didn't even get as much as they really wanted to out of the game. Tampa, now they're down 0-1, the champs. They're going to come back firing even harder. I'm just going to keep riding the overs. It's a simple system play here for me. So not much else to handicap. They've obviously only seen each other one time. I don't think there was that many penalties. Might see a few more. Gets a power play opportunities. Give me the over of 6.
Yeah, one thing I'm going to stay on the Stanley Cup here. One thing I was surprised by was how much Braden Point played for Tampa. I thought they'd ease him in a little bit, but he played almost full minutes that he's used to. So looks like he's healthy, ready to go. He's obviously going to be a big part of any game hitting the over. What I saw in that game was just, other than a few flashes in the second period where, you know, there was an outside wrister. There was a deflection going Tampa's way. I saw pure domination by the Avs. I'm going to go ahead and ride the Avs at a -1 line. For you guys out there, if you don't have a -1 line on your book, the way to do it is you take the money line, and the amount of money that you bet to win the money line, you bet on the -1.5 puck line. That will even out to a -1 line, so that if you win by one, you push your bet, and obviously you win both if those both go over. So that evens out to about a +105 line here. I have +175 on my puck line and -152 on the money line. I watched that game with a Tampa fan. He was tight butthole the entire game. You know, they really pressured Vasilevsky. He played a much better game than the 4 goals show. Really, like, he was making save after save after save, and I think that starts to crack a little bit here. And so, other than those, you know, kind of iffy goals by Tampa, there was one beautiful, just absolute straight out of a video game, you know, easy pitch and catch type of goal. But I'm really just gonna ride the Avs here, and I think we see Vasilevsky start to lean under all that offensive pressure led by MacKinnon.
Yeah. Hey, the more goals, the better. I like it.
Yeah, Ice Reek is not here, and I have no plays. So I'm just going to root with the farm.
All right. Well, what is your first play?
It's going to be late. You're not going to hear much from me today, but I got a couple on the diamond. All right? And for those that know me, it's going to be pretty simple here if you've been paying attention to baseball the last few days. But we've had back-to-back days of pitchers with no hitters getting high in their pitch count. In the 9th inning, you had Mike Mikolas for the Cardinals with the last out he needed for a no-hitter. Gave up a hit, and he got up to like 125 pitches. Then last night, you had
Anderson.
Yeah, Tim Anderson, who we kind of want to fade anyways to begin with, because I think he's out pitching what he normally is good at. But you're going to get a good number on that considering he pitches for the Dodgers, so whatever team you're playing against. Well, I guess we tend to like to go the other team, first half, team total, over. So you just, I don't know exactly when they're pitching yet. It doesn't come out yet. You don't know if the Cardinals are going
to. Right now it looks to be Wainwright on the mound for the Cardinals and Waka on the mound for the Reds.
Yeah, that's not what he's saying. He's saying the next time that those pitchers pitch.
When Mikolas is on the mound, you're taking the other team's team total of the first half, so the first 5 innings, over. Same thing for when Anderson pitches for the Dodgers. So I think Mikolas pitched on Tuesday night, so I would guess Sunday or Monday, depending if they have a day off or not. That's why I don't know which team it's going to be against yet, so I haven't said it. But those are my go-to handicaps. Love fading pitchers that are really close to no-hitter or throw a no-hitter the start after.
Yeah, system plays, baby.
# system plays.
All right, well, I'll stick to the diamond here. I've got to play myself. This is Friday night. We've got the Tampa Bay Rays visiting the Baltimore Orioles at 6 p.m. I'm going to take the Tampa Bay Rays here, -139. I think it's a beautiful line. They are a much better team than the Orioles. Tampa Bay is sitting third place in the AL East, a few games back of Toronto. Obviously, everyone's chasing the Yankees, but still in a wild card contention. Orioles sitting DFL, dead fucking last, in the AL East. Shane Baz on the mound for the Tampa Bay Rays. This is a perfect bounce-back spot for this guy. He's one of the top prospects in the Rays organization. He just pitched his season debut over the weekend and gave up 5 runs, which obviously isn't exciting. But a lot of those runs came from a grand slam, so sometimes can't handicap, you know, one hit accounting for all the runs. But at the end of the day, you know, runs are runs. So I think it's a good bounce-back spot for him. Meanwhile, Tampa Bay offense is going to be facing Kramer for Baltimore, a career 6.5 ERA. The guy's absolutely dog shit. I'm just going to call a spade here. Not very good. This is a good opportunity for the Rays to get after him early and often. Just a huge AL East matchup for Tampa. They're facing New York right now in a series, and they're sitting a few games back at Toronto and just right there on the cusp of a wildcard spot. So should be motivated to win some games versus the O's in an upcoming series. You know, luckily, one thing that we talk about sometimes, it's an Eric handicap. I don't really love it, but I do believe, you know, we talk about it in football all the time as well, but when you go coast to coast, East Coast to West Coast, when you're on road trips, luckily, the Rays are on a road trip, but they're going from New York to Baltimore, so really not much to be scared about there. It's going to be quick turnaround for them to get to Baltimore, so not worried about that concept. So give me the Rays at minus 139. I think it's a favorable line.
Absolutely. I was looking at that as well, but I found some other areas to place my chips. You're going to love this, Farmer. I'm using some of your system play analysis. I'm going to go the Padres at the Colorado Rockies. Michael Gore?
I have on my damn fantasy team.
Gore for the Padres, the young stud on the mound. Mackenzie Gore on the mound versus Colorado with Kyle Freeland. We know who Kyle Freeland is. He's not that great of a pitcher. Mm-hmm. The Padres are one of the hottest teams in baseball right now. They're currently leading the Dodgers by 2 games in the NL West. So this is a divisional matchup. You know, I just think that this is a good matchup. And going back to some of your tools of the trade, Gore got absolutely lit up by the Colorado Rockies last time he pitched. Yeah, he gave up 6 earned runs the 4 games before that, 1 earned run combined in 4 games with 6 innings, 7 innings, 6 innings, and 3 innings pitched in those previous games. So you love to fade a pitcher after he has a fantastic game and to go back to the well on a good pitcher after he's been rocked. So I'm going to go with Mackenzie Gore. Minus 145 is the line for the Padres. Get after it.
I love it. Love it.
And this is Friday?
This is Friday night.
Well, that's also nice because San Diego coming off a day game, get a little bit of rest for the ball club. All right. Anything else on the diamond?
Not for me.
All right. That being said, let's take the jet and let's head to Vegas, shall we? We got a UFC fight night. Actually, you know what? Not in Vegas. This is a UFC fight night in Austin, Texas.
Oh.
Yeah, so going to have some fans there. Thank God. I hate the UFC Vegas fights. No fans. It sucks at the Apex.
Fucking Apex is trash.
I know. It's trash. And a smaller ring.
Bigger rings.
So I'm saying smaller ring in Vegas. I like the bigger ring in Austin. It's funny. The last few fights in Texas have all been Derek Lewis. They've all been dog shit. Yeah. He's gotten his ass kicked in Houston twice in a row.
Yeah.
So good to. We got our main event with Calvin Kattar. Who's he fighting again? Oh, Emmett. Josh Emmett. Josh Emmett versus Calvin Kattar, your main event. I believe you got a pony in that fight, yeah?
I do have a pony. I mean, this is a simple bet. Calvin Kattar is one of the best fighters in a absolutely stacked lightweight division, or 145, yeah.
Max Holloway.
Yeah, Max Holloway, who absolutely put the beat down on Calvin Kattar. But other than that, Calvin Kattar has been an absolute beast in this division. He's got some of the best boxing in the division, obviously behind Max Holloway. But he's fighting a surprisingly hot Josh Emmett. I believe he's coming off a 2-fight win streak. He had some issues with some head trouble after he had that brutal knee from Jeremy Stephens a couple years ago. But he has been back on the horse. This should be an interesting fight. One thing we do know is that Josh Emmett has an absolute chin on him, a brick of a head with some traps to surround it. But I just think that this is a really easy play. Kattar is going to outbox him, point fight him, look to swarm him, sort of how Holloway does, to get a finish. But I don't think you have to look too much here because I am putting it into a parlay, minus 235 for Calvin Kattar. And then I'm taking some mojo off of you in the Donald Cerrone, Joe Lauzon fight. I am going to take Joe Lauzon at plus 130 to give me a plus 220 piggy parlay here. But I'm going to throw it over to you because you did a lot more research on this fight. So what do you got for your handicap?
Yeah, I'm on Joe Lauzon over Donald Cowboy Cerrone. These guys were set to fight back in May, but unfortunately, Cowboy, day of the fight, decided that he wasn't feeling so good for medical issues, had to drop out of the fight. Rescheduled to this weekend here, June 18th. So, is that 19th? No, today's, yeah, 18th. June 18th. And my thing here is, look, these are two journeyman veterans. They've both never been champions before, but they both have fought the best of the best in the lightweight division. They both have been fighting for over a decade in the UFC. Some of the most legendary fights, mainly with Cowboy. Lauzon, I don't think he's had as great of a career, but he's fought some of the best of the best anyways. The thing here is, a lot of people were talking going into that fight in May was that Dana White basically came out and said, not verbatim, but hinted at, the loser of this fight, they're done. Like, we're going to drop them from the UFC. It'll probably be the end of their career. Now, we come back 2 months later, or a month later or so, and I'm just thinking, you know, Cowboy drops out of the fight. He hasn't won a fight in years. He just hasn't looked the same. He hasn't sounded the same mentally. He's talked about, you know, riding into the wind, going back to his ranch, being a cowboy. He's talked about day of the fights. It's like one of his least favorite days of the entire year because he never knows how he's going to feel that day. Sometimes he's motivated. Sometimes he just doesn't want to be there. He specifically talked in the Conor fight. He's like, I woke up that morning and I just did not want to be there. I didn't want to fight whatsoever. And it showed. He literally, I don't think he threw a single strike in that entire fight with Conor.
One kick.
He threw one kick. And I'm just thinking that I don't think he's mentally or physically there. And the physical part comes from after he decides that, well, that he wasn't feeling well. So he obviously wasn't physically well to begin with because he has to
it had to do with weight cutting.
Yes, that's what I was getting at is he has issues cutting weight. Then, so after that fight, right now Triple X, if everybody remembers the old Vin Diesel movies, they're doing a remake coming out and Donald Cerrone got casted as an actor in the fight. So since May, when that fight was supposed to happen, he's been in Asia filming for this movie. And the word on the street right now is that he's been out there partying, not, you know, training, not taking care of his body. Now he's got to fly back to the States, try to cut weight, and then go out and fight again. And who knows where he's going to be at mentally or physically. For all those reasons, give me Joe Lauzon as a dog here at plus 137. I think that this is phenomenal value. And I think that, you know what? We saw it with Joanna Jędrzejczyk. A slight underdog that has been there before and has a great better pedigree and goes out, doesn't give, you know, honestly. She actually didn't look terrible, but still goes out and gets her bell rung, loses, puts the gloves in the middle of the octagon, yeah, and calls it a career. I can see the same thing happening with Donald Cowboy Cerrone this week.
I think he'll call it a career whether he wins or loses.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't see a win coming from him. Yeah. It's just
his son's getting older too. Danger Cerrone, if the fans don't know.
Yeah, if you've seen his last few fights, like when he starts to get hit, he just puts his hands up. Like he doesn't want to be there. He's just like, just someone call the fight, Herb Dean. Yeah. Call it already. Fuck. So, yeah, I'm going to ride with Joe Lauzon. But I like that parlay. You know, I might throw that in, too. I'll get a little bit of value because I think that Calvin Kattar is going to win that fight. I didn't think about the parlay, but I do like the Lauzon over Cowboys. So I think that the combo is a good one, especially just to have a little bit more action. But I was looking at and something I was thinking about in the Calvin Kattar fight, Josh Emmett, like those two are not going to the ground. And it's a 5-round fight. My thought is, with the amount of strikes being thrown, the over-under sitting at 4.5 scares me a little bit. But the fight to be finished inside the distance at minus 110 as an underdog bet versus minus 120 to go to the distance intrigued me a little bit. I thought that with how many strikes are being thrown, all it takes is one.
These guys are just hard.
I know. They both have unbelievable chins. We've seen it from the two of them. But Emmett has way more power than Cater's been used to in his last few fights. Like, Emmett could go out there and actually like knock someone's head off.
Yeah, I just
he's just 37. He's old.
Yeah, he just doesn't have the agility. And the only reason Qatar got hit as much as he did in the Max Holloway fight
too fast.
Was the angles and how fast he was to the punch. And that's not going to be there for Emmett. I think we're going to see a lot of waiting and trying to counter from Emmett. I think Cater gets back to his roots, which is boxing behind his jab, and just riding that to a fairly easy point decision win. I honestly, if I like the over there.
No, I don't mind it. It's just it was the concept of how many strikes are going to be thrown, like inside the distance. I get the whole fight, and it's an underdog bet. It just intrigued me. I haven't bet it. I just thought it was intriguing. But yeah, I mean, like you mentioned. So the interesting thing about Calvin Kattar coming outside of that Holloway fight is everybody was like, how is this guy possibly going to rebound? It was the most significant strikes thrown in the UFC history. How is anyone going to rebound from that, getting his face punched in? And he comes out, and he looks better than he ever has in his whole career versus Giga Chikadze, who was on an absolute heater going into that fight.
Hype train.
Yeah, and looks the best of his career. Now I think he might be riding some momentum. For all those reasons, I think that he's the play here. And I mean, he might be trying to push to try to get back to a title fight. Who knows? I mean, Holloway loses that fight. There's not that many people left in the featherweight division. Volkanovski's going to have to move up probably because there's nobody that's even going to be good.
But, I mean, if he comes out and puts a lights-out performance and puts away Josh Emmett, that's a springboard for him to make a title run.
Or for him to give him Ortega, winner gets the title fight.
Exactly.
Which would actually be a really good stylistic matchup.
Yeah, I'd love to see that.
That'd be a good one. All right. That's UFC Fight Night in Austin. Jared, do you have any plays?
I do, yeah.
All right. Well, we got to take the jet somewhere. Where are we going?
All right. We're going to take it to one spot, and it's going to be sitting there for the longest 2 minutes in sports. Brandon's probably thinking I psyched him out pre-tournament. Pre-pod saying that we did not have any soccer because United Nations is done. But wait a minute.
Major League Soccer.
He thought I was going to go there. I'm going back to my bread and butter.
A-League.
Bundesliga overs.
No. All the European teams aren't playing right now.
Yeah. There's one European team, and it's specifically a Scandinavian team.
Well, I looked for
Scandinavian, European too?
Yeah.
Scandinavia is Norway, Finland, Sweden.
Yeah, I know, but is that technically still Europe?
Yes.
So my comments don't make sense. We are going
Sweden
to Norway. Wow, Brandon, you went. Hopefully your picks are better than your 0-for-3 guesses on what soccer league I was going to.
I looked up Norway over the weekend, and I didn't see any
both
action.
Leagues this weekend are back. Oh, nice. All right, after their little Nations League break. I don't know why Norway is playing this weekend, but Sweden isn't. I don't care. I'm just here to find winners in those leagues.
Oh, probably because Sweden. No.
They both were just playing in the Nations League. Yeah. So who knows? Maybe it's a national holiday in Sweden for – I mean, I should know since I'm going to live there in a few years, but – I'm a little sidetracked here. Let's move back to the picks. All right, and it's going to be a quick stoppage time. We didn't have that many fouls in the second half, so we're going to get this done pretty quickly. We're going Strom's Godset. Everyone knows I love him. Plus a half at Sarpsborg. Pretty just easy number play here. You have the team on the road who has more points, and they have not lost in 4 of the 5 road games. Home team, the opposite. They have they've only won in 1 of their 5 home games. Therefore, give me the half a goal. I mean, easy handicap. Another easy handicap coming up. Rub the head of Lily over here because I take her every time. Lillestrøm, +115 at home against Rosenborg. They are the best home team in the league, Brandon. 10 goals for, 0 goals against in 5 games. They just play a defensive counter style that the other teams just can't handle. It's a little different. They're the best team in the league. Fresh legs. They're ready to go. We're going to go a little moldy here. We're going mold. -0.5 money line on the road at odd. You know me, I love taking half goals. I don't really like laying them. But here we are. Odd is just a very odd team at home. All right, they only have 2 wins, 3 losses. Mold dominant on the road. 4 wins of their 5 road games so far this year. I think they come out here as a much better team and curb stomp all odd. Next, you think I'm going to Norway without over Tromso, Hagsung, over 2.5. At home, Tromso, 3.5 goals a game. On the road, Hagsung, over 4 goals a game. That equates over 2.5, Brandon. All right, game ends 2-2, just to be safe.
I think we found our bet the farm there.
Oh, you like the handicap. And last, but not least.
I saved my best handicap for last, though. So.
Stay back plus a half at start. Again, simple handicap like the first one. Better team on the road. Going against a team that has not been that good at home. Give me the half a goal in that scenario every single time. That wraps up stoppage time. I think it was only like 2 minutes of extra time.
That was what you were trying to. That didn't come to your head the first time. So no, you know the old name.
Yeah,
the old name.
It was the fastest, slowest 2 minutes.
It's been 3 weeks. I'm rusty as shit.
Yeah, it's all good. All
right, stoppage time. We won't forget next time.
All right, I'm taking the jet. We're staying in Europe. We're going to Germany.
Ooh.
For some tennis action.
Wow.
Grass season has begun. Everyone's gearing up for Wimbledon. We're going to the Halle Open in Germany.
Serena Williams?
Nope. A quarterfinal matchup, a men's matchup. We're taking Felix Auger Alessandri over Hubert Hurkacz, -155.
You love beating that guy.
I'll tell you why. This is the second tournament of grass season. They're headed to Wimbledon. Last week they played in Germany as well. Look, these two faced each other last year in the opening round at this exact tournament. Felix beats him in the first round. Felix is already in phenomenal grass form. Made it to the semifinal last week. He lost in a 3-set tiebreak, typical Felix, but you know, gotta love that he's getting some wins on his belt. Grass is his best surface, has a 74% win rate on grass in his career. Meanwhile, Hubert Hurkacz got bounced in the first round last week, and that was his grass season debut. You hate to see it. He's not great on grass, 55% career win rate on grass. So I will say he bounced back nicely in this week's tournament. He's won his first two matches, but now faces his toughest competition of the year. But Felix Auger Alessandri, known as FAA, owns the career head-to-head matchup, 2-0. And for all those reasons, Felix, moneyline, -155 over Hubert Hurkacz.
Wow. All right. Interesting.
You got nothing to say about tennis.
I love grass season. It's my favorite part. Gearing up for Wimbledon, you love to see it. You know what's really interesting about Wimbledon this year? England, like compared to France, they let all the Russians play. England is super anti-Russia. They're not letting any of the Russians play in the tournament.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting. So, like, no Medvedev, a lot of the females that are really good, none of them can play.
You're also, you didn't mention that no Belarus either. Because they're like an ally of Germany, so Sabalenka can't play. Bet you didn't know that. And you think you're the only one that knows tennis around here.
You just said they were an ally.
That's why they outlawed not only Russia, oh, they outlawed
anyone from... I think you said an ally to England versus meaning they're an ally to Russia.
Oh, yeah, probably. That's okay. What I meant.
Yeah. All right. I think that's going to wrap it up for our cash crops this week. Now it's time for everybody's favorite segment. It's time to stump the farm.
Let's go. Doesn't have the same ring to it without Stump the Sheep.
I know. It really doesn't. Especially because like, he's the worst. But now the two of you get to do it together.
We should do Stump the Stable.
That could work. Yeah, you're a dog. He's a farmer.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to call it.
Chase the picker on the stable.
There's stables in a farm.
I got a Tall Boy 3-pack for you guys. Because I took one of the beers. You know, they usually come in 4-packs. Yeah. But took one of them. And I'm going to take a sip of one real quick.
Uh-oh.
A little ASMR for everybody.
My heart's starting to race.
All right. We're going to the ice first. I like to go with every little different sport so that everybody... And stop looking at my computer. You're always cheating, dude.
Typical.
All right. The player with the highest plus minus in the NHL playoffs this season is on the Avalanche. Who is it? You get one guess. Don't start throwing names out.
I mean, you're asking us both a question, but every time we start talking
about
a name,
you can discuss
you interject
it.
And say wrong.
You can discuss like, it. You can discuss it with each other and then give me a final answer.
It's definitely not McKinnon.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't be asking it if it was, I think, anyone. I think it's the way he asked the question, it's probably one of the top defenders.
Who should
like
do the guy
Johnson's
hurt?
Jack Johnson's really good. Oh, no, it's the other guy.
Who should do the guy hurt?
Oh, my God.
I think his last name starts with a B.
I guarantee it's the other defenseman.
It's not coming to my head, but I think I know.
Oh, who he's McCarr. About. I think it's McCarr. Okay. We're going McCarr.
No, you had it right.
Jack Johnson?
No, you had it. It's the defenseman. I don't think Maker's even a defenseman.
I thought for sure he was a defenseman.
And he's hurt anyways right now. That's why.
It was the dude who got hurt, right?
No. Maker's the one that's hurt right now.
Okay.
He's like the top three.
I watched him get interviewed before the game last night.
He got hurt at one point in the last series. Maybe he's back.
Yeah.
Well, they had a week and a half off, so it makes sense. I didn't really watch the game, but... Landeskog.
He's not a defender.
He's not?
No, he's a center.
I don't watch Avs games. It's not my bread and butter.
Like, I don't know anybody.
But either way, you guessed Maker and were incorrect. It was Landeskog.
I'll go to the pen with that one. Go in the mud pit and lay down.
Yeah, no, he was like fourth on the list.
Yeah, I'm sure.
All right. Aaron Judge leads the MLB with 25 homers. The second closest behind him has 18. There's three of them. Just name one.
God.
Can I get a hint? Is one of them on our fantasy team?
No. But I will say two are in the NL East. Oh, fuck. That's giving away too much. One's in the AL.
I would have to probably guess because I saw the other day he was batting .320, Bryce Harper. But
NL East.
I'm trying to, since he said NL
East. You get three guesses because there's three of them.
Well, then I'll say Bryce Harper.
No.
Wow, must be a contact hitter now.
But I mean, you may as well just hone in on the NL East at this NL point, East. Since I gave that to you.
I mean,
well, who on the Mets is a big power hitter, and they've been the best team. But I don't.
I want to say it's somebody on the Braves.
Oh, Alonso probably.
I want to say it's somebody on the Braves.
All their guys have been hurt. Albie's just got. He's not that big of a power hitter. Yeah. It would have to be the first baseman they got to replace Freeman, and I'm blanking on it. Olson, if we took someone from the Braves.
This is so funny.
Actually, Ozuna's been back. It could be Ozuna.
I kind of want to say Jazz. Just because I feel like Brandon would put
Jazz.
Jazz
is 10 homers.
He's 13.
Is it the 13?
He just had back-to-back two-homer games.
I'll give you one more hint. First of all, you were on the right. One of them was on the right team that you guys were just talking about. Well, both of and Jared has said them already. So those are two good guesses.
I would have to probably stick to my guns and say, I don't want to say the wrong one, but Alonso.
Ding, 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 right, ding, 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 ding. Got one. When you said it, I wanted to give it to you, but you were still talking it out.
I was just talking through it.
And you were like, it's got to be the first baseman. And I was like, I thought you totally were going to have it. Austin Riley.
He's a third baseman.
No. I'm saying Austin Riley is the one.
Oh, I wouldn't even have guessed him. Yeah. I would have guessed. I guess Olson has it. Normally old Jared would know that answer. That's what happens when you're just too indulge in golf. Don't pay attention to baseball anymore.
All right, this is a math question more than anything, and it's just going to have to be a pure guess. But for the sake of talking about soccer, our hometown squad, Inter Miami. All right, listen carefully. They've played 14 matches. They have three draws. How many wins do they have this year?
14 matches, three draws? I would have thought they drew a lot more than that. But I know they've been pretty shitty, so they've probably lost like 10 or 11. So it's either like 3 or 4.
Let's go with 4.
4.
They've been on a heater. 5.
Oh.
5 and 6. 5, 6, and 3. Yeah. We're like in the 10th spot. We're like a few out of a playoff spot.
Every time I've looked, it says 0-0 draw.
Every time I see them play.
Oh, well, if you're not set up to their emails, you would get an email every time the day after they play that says, every time they win or draw, you get 50% off Papa John's.
They moved that
every South Florida team of all time history has that deal.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for Stump the Farm. Let's wrap up the entire podcast with our Bet the Farm pick of the week.
Ooh.
We can go with the over 2.5.
Yeah.
In soccer or my tennis match would be the only other one I think is probably. I like his UFC parlay, but. Parlay. Why would you risk it on a two-gamer?
Yeah, definitely not.
I mean, Wes isn't a big tennis guy, so he loves his soccer overs. I feel like after our month off, we got to just...
I mean, dude, averaging 4 goals and 3.5 goals, and those teams are playing with a 2.5 over, like...
That's what I'm saying.
Vegas knows. Vegas knows something.
I don't know. It's worked out pretty good, judging off the cash crop record, but...
All right, then what is it?
Oh, hold on. I got to...
I knew you weren't going to remember the team names. I think it was Odd and... it was...
Odd. Team. Don't forget that one. No, it was the second team name I forgot. So we're going to lock hands here, stare right in the mirror, and we're going to say Tromso versus Hogsund. Over 2.5 is what we like to call a bet the farm. Outro music.